My name is Chris Neal. I'm glad you guys are here this morning. Glad you're here online. I'm the associate pastor here at Grace, men's pastor, and I'm humbled to be a part of all this. And just like Katie said, man, Easter was just a great time. It really was. It was really like uplifting and exhilarating, and it was just neat to see God move that whole week. And so we started out at the Burning Bush, which is a retreat center near here, and we had this Monday, Thursday experience, which is kind of the crucifixion of Christ. And then it was great. It really was a great experience to kind of kick off the week. And then of course, Friday, we had Good Friday here, and it's kind of the grief. And you got to put yourself in the apostles' like footsteps. They didn't know Sunday was coming. Like, we know Sunday's coming. And then we had Easter, and Sunday came, and we celebrated the resurrection. And man, just like Katie said, we saw God's faithfulness and God's goodness. And I really saw God bringing life and resurrection spirit in some areas of my life personally and some other people's lives last week. It was really great. And so I think it's really awesome that we can celebrate Easter and celebrate, you know, Christ is risen and that Christ is here and that Christ will come again. And there's just something special about that time. And we can be grateful for his life, death, and resurrection. But at the same time, we can also kind of live in this tension that we're going to talk about this morning. Because for some of us, we're still kind of like wondering why Christ isn't doing what we need him to do in a certain area of our life. And so if you're here and you're kind of grieving and questioning God because there's some area of your life where you need his resurrection power and you're not really experiencing it like you think you should experience it. And you look around and you hear these stories and you see all this and you feel this energy and you feel the Holy Spirit and you read, you know, the Bible. But in your life, you just don't seem to be experiencing all the things that you see going on around you. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning. What do we do when what we know about God doesn't seem to match our experience of God? So what do? When we have these difficult circumstances that come up in our lives and we feel more like we're living in the grief of Good Friday rather than in the joy of Easter? And we're going to start out, this is kind of like a little series that's going to go for a while, Proverbs. It comes in and out. We have some gaps in the schedule. We're going to try and seek wisdom from the Lord because Proverbs is a book of wisdom. My good friend Stan's going to read Proverbs 3 through 1, 1 through 6.
Says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but have your heart comply with my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good reputation in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight.
Amen. So trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Let us pray and get to the buffet, right? If only it were that easy. If only it were that easy. Because we just finished Exodus here as a church right before we did the big Easter celebration and all that kind of stuff. And I love Exodus because it's got these Israelite people, and they're just like me. They're just going through there, screwing everything up, doubting God. But they're also, God does amazing things through them and for them. And man, he just leads them and guides them and loves them. And I see this in my life, having this good run, you know, for whatever. And then I feel like fear or doubt or worry or stress or strain or heartache come in. And I start betraying, I start grumbling, I'll start complaining, I'll start building some idols, I'll start cutting off some ears, whatever it takes to get some relief around here. Just like we've seen people in Scripture doing. Maybe you guys don't do that. Just like we do, like we see people in Scripture doing, right? We start living like that. There's a couple of people out here that live like that, I guess. But what I really want to do is I want to take a step toward God. I really do with all my heart. And lean not on my own understanding, but somewhere along the process, like I either forget or kind of refuse. I refuse to let God lead the way, and I refuse to trust God with my whole heart. And that's why I think this reminder from Proverbs, with trust in big bold letters, came at a good season in our church. That our ways are not necessarily the key to success. the key to wisdom that Proverbs gives us, it says, if you trust in God with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, depend not on your own understanding, God promises you that he will put you on the right path, these paths that lead to life. But here's the sticking point is sometimes this path that God has us on, this road that God has us on, aren't necessarily the direction that we think God should be taking us. And things aren't working out exactly like we want them to work out. And so there's the tension. And I've seen this personally played out in my own life over the last few years. I really have. Like, our family's been dealing with some difficult circumstances. And just when we think we got kind of things lined out, something else pops up. And over the last few years, things, they just seem to be piling up. And year after year, it just seems to be piling up. But as we prayed and as we shared in our small group and in other things, and again, Romans is getting ready to happen. If you're not in a small group, you're missing out. You should not do life alone. But as we prayed and shared our struggles, like, we've seen God be trustworthy. We've seen God move. Even though I look around, I see all this stuff, and I see all the circumstances, and I feel it. Like, I feel the tension of this, and I feel it down on my shoulder. Like, I feel it. And at the same time, I see God helping us and guiding us and loving us and showing us the way. And there's a tension. And I know I'm not alone in this because I know many of your stories. Katie and I, we know a lot of stories in this church. And we're not alone in this. That some of you are having like difficult seasons and difficult experience and like hard times right now. And you can feel the weight of this. And you can feel the tension that I'm feeling. And during these times, we wonder. Like, we wonder where God is. We wonder if God even cares. Does he even care that somebody I love is in the hospital right now? We wonder, like, where are you, God? And we begin to doubt if God really sees me in my situation. Like, I know you got a lot going on, God, but I need some help down here. And it's hard to believe that God really sees us and God cares about us and all of our problems. And sometimes it doesn't seem like he's helping you the way you think he should be helping you. And if it's hard to believe that he really cares about this present troubles and stuff that we're facing, isn't it kind of hard to believe that he's even going to care about our future troubles? And that's the tension. That's why it's so quiet in here. Because with Proverbs, though, it helps us to remind us that we should try our best to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lead not in our own understanding. And so I want to use a story from the Old Testament. We're going to move into 1 Samuel this morning. You can find that. It's towards the back of your by our front of your Bible, I guess, depending on which way you go. But a lot of people start in the New Testament. So, but we're going to meet a lady named Hannah today and her husband named Elkanah. And we're going to see that Hannah, over time, she chooses to put her trust in the Lord. And we're going to see that over time, she chooses to lean not on her own understanding in a super huge way. She chooses this. And so Elkanah, he had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Hannah didn't have any children, but Peninnah had children. And so most commentaries say that Elkanah married Peninnah later on because he wanted to keep his family legacy going, and that was common in that day and time. And so we're going to pick up the story in 1 Samuel 3 through 7. So it says, Elkanah would go up from his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of armies in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli were there, Hophni and Phinehas. And they were priests to the Lord there. When the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to his wife, Peninnah, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion because he loved Hannah. But the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival, moreover, Peninnah, would provoke her bitterly and irritate her bitterly, because the Lord had closed her womb. And it happened year after year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, that she would be provoked. So she wept and would not eat at the sacramental dinner. So first, we see in this story, way to go, Elkanah, right? Way to lead your family. even in, like during these hard times when things didn't seem to go your way, way to be a man that stands up, leads his family to worship and to give thanks and to give glory to God. What a man. He didn't just come to church on Easter. Next, shame on you, Penina, right? Because she's prideful and she taunts and she makes fun and she talks behind her back. She's got all these children. Hannah has none, and she sees that. She's reduced to tears. She won't even eat at the fancy ceremonial dinner that day, you know, when they go up to the temple. It's like a 3-4 day trip just to get there. And did you catch this? Year after year, it was the same. So let me set the stage for you. Kind of close your eyes with me. You can smell the donkeys and you can smell the dust and all this kind of stuff. And they're loading up their donkeys and they're getting ready to take the trip to Shiloh. And they're getting everything up. And here's Penina. She's running around. She's like, oh, I got to put my stroller on this donkey. I got to put my playpen on this donkey. She's like, Hannah, I'm really going to need you to move all that stuff over because I got the sit and spin. That's going to go on your donkey, you know, because you don't have any babies. Right? She's, oh, Hannah, just you don't even really need a donkey, do you? Because I have babies and you don't. And year after year. And for many of us, we can feel the weight in that statement in our own lives. Because you're praying maybe for God to move in a certain area of your life. And year after year, you ask God, say, could you just help me with my depression, God? And year after year, you're like, God, I need some help in these finances. God, I'm praying for you to help me in my marriage. Maybe it is a baby. You're praying for a baby or praying for a good man or a good woman so you have a chance at making said baby. And year after year, it is the same. And the tension is in the one thing you're really desperately asking God to do for you is the one thing he doesn't seem to be doing for you. And you look around, and the irony is he's doing it for other people, the one thing you're wanting him to do for you. And you watch God do this. And it's hard to trust God with our whole heart. It makes us question God. And why don't things seem to be happening the way I think they should be happening, God? And in a way, I think we can all start to relate to Hannah's story. This isn't just a story about having a baby. Everybody should be engaged now. And one day, Hannah, she's just had enough of all this sadness and bitterness and just this weariness. Can you feel it? And she just goes to God in anguish. And she's not eating and she's not doing anything. And the first thing that her good old husband does, Elkanah, is he sees this. And I love this part in 1 Samuel 8. He says, Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart so sad? I mean, what a guy, right? Like he sees her. He sees her. He doesn't have his phone in his face all day. He hears her. He's listening to her. He brings her food and says, eat more of it, baby. Come on. Right? He comforts her. He cares about her emotions and her words. He's like the unicorn of husbands. Hashtag unicorn. That ought to pull up a good search, right? He's like the unicorn of husbands in the Old Testament. This doesn't happen that much. He finally is a guy, man, he gets it right. He doesn't say or do something to screw it all up. Oh, man, hold on. I peeked too soon. There's a little more of that verse left. It says, Hannah, why do you weep and why do you not eat? And why is your heart so sad? Am I not better than 10 sons? Oh, no. He's just like the rest of us guys, isn't he? He found a way to screw it up. He says, Hannah, why are you so sad, baby? You got me. You don't need no baby. I'm better than 10 sons. You done hit the husband jackpot. And I want to tell you this story because it's super funny to me. So I got a son, Caleb, and he wanted to play one a couple weekends ago or do something. And I kept telling him, well, I got a few things I need to do, a few things Katie wants me to do. And when I get them all done, we'll spend some time together. And so I got all this stuff done, and then just when I was getting ready to play with him, I remember, I got one more thing I need to do. And I said, hold on just a minute. And so everybody's outside watching me do this last thing, and I'm not sure why. They're all watching me do it, but they're doing it. And my little son, Caleb, he looks up at Mama. He said, why Daddy got to be such a good husband? That's right, ladies. Husband jackpot. All the time you thought it was like George Clooney, Brad Pitt, wasting your time over there. You thought maybe they had like a different kind of body type, probably some more hair, less sweat for sure, more legs, who knows. But this is it, hashtag eye candy right here. If anybody searches this stuff, they're going to find a crazy message. That's why I wore long sleeves today, to keep everything calmer. So back to Hannah. So Hannah, she's super sad, unlike us right now, but she's sad about her circumstances, and she just continued to trust God. And this is what I love about this story. And she continues to lean not, to depend not on her own understanding. She just keeps pressing into God. Even though she has no baby, even though it looks as if things are never going to change, we see in her story that she just keeps trying to be faithful to God. And she has this opportunity to turn away from God during these seasons, doesn't she? Say things like, God, you don't care about me. God, you're not even real. Even though I just keep arguing with you, God, you're not even real. God, you're not being faithful to me. Like, I done tithe 3 times this year. I read your Bible app a few times. Come on, God, I'm being faithful to you. You're not being faithful to me. But instead of turning away, Hannah turns toward God. And she's in a broken state. She really is. It's from this broken state that she takes this big step towards God. When most people turn away, I think, at least for a moment. And there's a beautiful example of her just pressing into God. We're going to see that in 1 Samuel 12 through 18. So Hannah is praying at the temple. And the story says that now it came about as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli, he's the priest, he was watching her. Watching her mouth. As for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart, and only her lips were just quivering. But her voice was not heard. And so Eli thought she was drunk. He says, get rid of your wine. But Hannah answered him and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman despairing in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. And I love this next part. It says, do not consider your bond servant a useless woman. For I have spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation. Provocation is like anger and bitterness. And then Eli answered and said, go in peace then, and may the God of Israel grant your request that you have asked of him. And she said, oh man, let your bond servant find favor in your sight. So the woman went away, ate, and her face was no longer sad. So can you see Hannah? She's just there, just laying it all out. And they didn't tell us what she prayed, and I love that, because now our prayer can be inserted into this story, and we can go there, and she got mascara running down her face, and she's doing this big kind of ugly cry, and she's like, you know those cries where you just kind of like at dolphin levels crying, just you know, because you're just so, it's just so deep and so heartfelt. And the scripture says that she poured out her soul to the L-O-R-D capital Lord, Yahweh. That's who she's talking to. And I can't help but, you know, wonder, with all of her questions and all of her sadness and everything that's going on, and she's just pouring it all out before the Lord, and she took all these things to God in silent anguish. And I've been there, man. And many of you have been there. And I just want you to know that you can honestly come to God with any emotion. There's no emotion too big for God. There's no emotion too big for God. God wants us to come to him and lean on him through the good times. He wants to celebrate, and through the hard times. He wants us to come to him in silent anguish or whatever it takes, deep provocation. I promise you that God would rather you run to him in honest pain and honest heartbreak, and then to turn your back on him and go away from him. Even when you don't fully understand what's going on around you and everything you see looks counter to what you're trying to believe. But after pouring out her heart to God, she just gets up and wipes her tears. And the scripture says that she is no longer sad. And we've been there. Many of us have been there before. I've been there recently where you just break down and you cry. And you're angry at God, and you say things to God that hopefully you would never say to another person. And then when you're done unloading on God, Guess what? God still loves you. God still cares about you. And God's still there for you. And this is what we see happening in Hannah's story. And even though her circumstances haven't changed, she is changed. She's being changed. Her heart is changing. God is still moving in her story. She's no longer sad, the text says. And after this, man, we see Elkanah, he returns home, and he's kind of sorry for that comment he made earlier, so he's like, whatever, and he's got a little CD going, and you know the song he played? Total Eclipse of the Heart, right? Right? Heard something like that's coming up. And he said, you get this, he goes, tonight I'm going to love you totality. Right? So, and guess what? They have a hashtag totality. So, guess what? They have a baby. And guess what they named the baby? Does anybody know?
Samuel.
Hence the book we're just studying. That's kind of cool. Samuel, who blesses David, who becomes a king, the lineage of Christ, from a woman named Hannah. 1 Samuel 26 through 28, we're going to pick up the story. So 3 years later, they return back to the temple. Things are going pretty cool. And she meets Eli again, and this is where we pick up the story. The one who saw her praying her silent prayer, she said, pardon me, my Lord. I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I have asked of him. So I also dedicate him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. And this part of the story really blows my mind. Because this is the baby that she prayed for. Right? This is the one thing that she wanted so bad that she needed God to give her. Right? And she leaves this baby at the temple to be in God's service, dedicated to the Lord. And I was thinking through it, and Eli the priest is like, well, he's only 3. Could you bring him back in a couple years? Like, he's already splashing around in the holy water. You know, he doesn't even have really any clothes. He's not really a good priest yet. She's like, nope, he's all yours. Right? But she trusted God from the depths of her soul and her sadness with the one thing that she desperately wanted. She was there. She cried out to God. And then she took the next step. Right? She took the next step and she trusted God. And then she trusted God with her son's steps for the rest of his life. And so as we turn the page from 1 Samuel chapter 1 to 2 Samuel chapter 2, I would encourage you to read that tonight. But there's this song of praise that Hannah sings. And basically it's about this upside down kingdom of God that we see in Scripture and see lived out through Christ. This upside down kingdom of God where God always seems to do the unexpected. Where God makes the weak strong and the strong weak. What God doesn't always do things the way we think he should do them. God doesn't always do things like according to our ways of thinking and doing things. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 says this. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. And that's why I think this proverb, trust, came at such a good time. Because sometimes it's hard to really trust in God with all of our heart because we really can't fathom all of God's goodness and all of God's greatness, how much he loves and cares about us. And then in turn, put that into trust. Because really, wouldn't you expect Hannah to be like this helicopter mom? Because this is the one thing she wanted, man. She'd be chasing that little baby around with pillows all over him so he didn't get hurt. Like, she would have wanted to soak up every second with this baby. And instead, she dedicates him to the Lord. Our ways are not always God's ways. And so then they go back to visit little Samuel year after year, just as they had done before. And this is where we pick up the story in 2 Samuel, or 1 Samuel chapter 2, 18 through 21. So now Samuel, he was ministering before the Lord as a boy, wearing a linen ephod, fancy robe. And his mother would make him a little robe and bring it to him from year to year. And when she would come up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifices, Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and would say, may the Lord give you your children from this woman in place of the one she has dedicated to the Lord. And they went home to their own home, and the Lord did indeed visit Hannah. And she conceived, and she gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the boy Samuel grew before the Lord in power and strength. But how do you think Hannah kept her faith and her peace during this season of her life? How do you think she handled it when Penina and all these other people making fun of her, talking bad about her on her back, on Facebook, saying she got no babies. She don't need a donkey, right? Saying all this stuff. She made it through because in her story, we see a woman that never stopped praying. She never stopped seeking God. She never, she always just kept pressing into God. Even when it wasn't convenient, even when she didn't feel like it, she goes and unloads on God. She's trusting in God with all of her heart. And the thing we need to know about this is year after year, that part of her story was the same also. Hannah decided that no matter what she sees going on around her, no matter what all the people say about her and all this stuff, and this is a big one, no matter what God seems to be doing or not doing for her, that she was just going to keep pressing into the goodness of God. That she was going to keep trusting God. Year after year, it was the same. And we see this man, a man. He messed up a couple times. That's all right. A man who just kept bringing his family to God, who kept just making this trip. That was probably a lot of stress and trouble and hard, probably hard work, right? He kept making this trip, bringing his family to the house of the Lord. Even when it wasn't convenient, even when it didn't make sense, even when it didn't seem to be paying off, he kept making this trip. Even when there was a good football game that weekend, even when the fish were really biting. It's not just for Easter. And that's an important thing to remember. Because the more I've been walking with God and pressing into God and leaning on God and trying to grow my faith, here's what I see. And I know that many of you don't want to hear this. But our faith and our trust in God grow the most during the trials of our life. Our trust in God grows the most when things aren't going our way. They're not going the way we want them to go. And one of the biggest things I've learned is, man, that God has to do something in me before he can ever do something for me. God has to change my heart. He has to do something inside me. Before God can ever do anything for me, he has to do a work in me. He has to work on my character. He has to work on my heart. He's got to work on my integrity. He has to know I can be trusted with the next step. So what are you asking God for? What miracle do you need from God? What are you trying to trust God that doesn't seem to be happening the way you think it should be happening? What's the same in your life year after year? And so whether your life's been great, and it's okay to celebrate, man, if you're in a good season and a great season, to celebrate and bring that in joy to the Lord. Or if you're in bitter sadness and heartache, it's okay to bring that to the Lord. Whether you feel like you're living in the grief of Good Friday or the joy of Easter, it's okay to bring all of that to the Lord. Whether you've been following God for decades, or maybe you're here today and I don't even know about this God, about this Jesus person. I'm just curious. God can handle all that. But it is time, and this I think is the season for you guys, for all of us, me included, to take another big step. And so we're going to have one more song. Man, you guys can come back on up. We're going to have one more song. And so during this song, you got a chance, just like Hannah had, to pour out your soul in deep provocation of either thankfulness and gratefulness or bitterness and anger, whatever it takes. There is no emotion too big for God. There's not. But here's the thing I need you to know. Don't leave here today with regrets. Don't leave here today with regrets. Don't sign off, log out with regrets. And so here's another thing to remember. When this song is over, chances are your circumstances are probably going to be the same. But I promise you this, God is doing a work inside you. God is changing you. Your heart is being changed. You are being changed. Just like Hannah, go to God. Faithful prayer, and year after year, you'll see God move in amazing ways. Amen.
If you are encouraged by today's message, be sure to rate us and hit subscribe on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you stream your podcasts. To experience other talks, videos, and live gatherings, visit us online at thegracechurch.net. And again, thanks for listening to the Grace Church Podcast.